WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest Tom Hulce received an Academy Award nomination for his portrayal of Mozart in the film Amadeus. In last summer's movie Parenthood, he played Steve Martin's gambling, conniving brother Larry. Hulce also co-starred in Dominic and Eugene, Slam Dance, Echo Park, and Animal House. Currently, he's on Broadway in the military courtroom drama A Few Good Men. On Monday, you can see Hulce in an NBC movie called Murder in Mississippi. It's based on the murders of civil rights workers Michael Schwerner, James Chaney, and Andrew Goodman. They were killed by racists in 1964's Freedom Summer, when college students from the North went to the South to help register black voters. Hulce plays Schwerner, one of the organizers of Freedom Summer. I asked Hulce if he has any childhood memories of the murders of Schwerner, Chaney, and Goodman.
I had no idea what was going on at the time. I grew up outside of Detroit, and I was certainly old enough to remember, but I was in a very white, upwardly mobile kind of community, and really didn't have any idea. I was amazed when I sat down maybe 5 years ago and watched the PBS series Eyes on the Prize, how an extraordinary event I had been alive during in our own country. I was just astonished and appalled that 20 years ago people proudly stood up in front of television cameras and proclaimed that some people deserved rights that others didn't in our own country.
You play Schwerner as someone who had an almost naive sense of confidence about the ability to change people when he first comes to the South, mm-hmm. and then eventually loses his confidence but not his commitment. Mm-hmm. What is that interpretation based on?
That's actually what was written in the screenplay. There's a lot of factual material in the story, and there's a lot of fiction. There's more of an overview of different points of view that people had that were working in this movement. And so there is much more of a conflict between Chaney and Schwerner than there probably was in actual fact. But the issues of the roles of white Northerners coming down and working in the movement, and the black people that were there that felt that it was their responsibility to do the fighting on their own. It was a way to address those issues by putting a little conflict between these two guys. I think Mickey Schwerner, from what I've been able to understand, he knew that he was marked. He knew that he was risking a lot, and believed so strongly that he wouldn't go home.
The murders of Schwerner, Chaney, and Goodman are the murders that the feds in the movie Mississippi Burning are investigating. What was your reaction to Mississippi Burning?
I thought it was an extraordinary piece of filmmaking. About two-thirds of the way through, I got very angry because I felt that it was exploiting the background it was using without illuminating it in any way. It in the end, was to me a story about two cops trying to learn how to work together, and had very little to do with what was actually going on down there. The filmmaking images were extraordinarily powerful, I thought.
Murder in Mississippi is about the civil rights movement in the South, and you know, there still is so much separation in American culture between black and white. And I think it holds true for like nearly every aspect of American culture, including the entertainment industry. And I'm thinking even in movies, you know, that this was the movie probably with the most integrated cast that you'd ever worked in.
Definitely. definitely.
Was there, I'm just curious if there was any sense of white actors and black actors being alone or together during the breaks of the film? In other words, did you have any sense of separation during the breaks?
No. No, not at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. There isn't a lot of hanging out time on that kind of schedule, mm-hmm. working 16-hour days. The obstacles are always huge. It's close to 100 degrees, 90% humidity. So there isn't a lot of hanging around to begin with. But everyone was there because they wanted to be a part of this story. And it was interesting. In the writing, I know that the writer and the producers were very clear that they didn't want to tell a story about white New Yorkers coming down and telling the people in Mississippi what to do. And so they kind of knocked down the level of skill. And Mickey had said some really extraordinary things in real life, mm-hmm. and I had to fight to get a touch of that potential into the story. And I thought it was really interesting because, there were times when Jennifer and I felt like we were on the short end of the story. And in that way, tables were perhaps a little reversed. I was talking to Blair about there was a whole kind of he had a whole side story that's not in the final cut about his relationship with his girlfriend, and he was talking about how rare it is for there to be a romance between two black characters in a film or on television, and how rarely you see them kissing. And you know, it had never even occurred to me. I hadn't even noticed that was true. And as irony would have it, that storyline got cut because of the time constraints.
Mm-hmm. Tom Hulce is my guest, and he co-stars as Michael Schwerner in the NBC TV movie Murder in Mississippi, which will be broadcast Monday night. He's also currently starring in the Broadway play A Few Good Men, and he's co-starred in the films Parenthood, Dominique and Eugene, Slam Dance, and Amadeus. So you're in Broadway now in A Few Good Men. Mm-hmm. This is a military courtroom drama. How do you approach theater differently from film in terms of the size of your gestures, knowing that there aren't going to be close-ups on stage?
I don't do it different.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in front of a camera, you know that the frame around your performance changes size. So in that way, if you know that the camera is seeing you from the top of your head to your shoulders, you know that if you're telling the story with your feet, nobody's going to see it. But other than that, I don't really think there's a difference.
A lot of our listeners probably saw you recently in Parenthood. And you're really like the most unredeemed character in the movie. You're a gambler, a liar. You use your parents, take things from them, never give anything back.
Are you finished?
You no good you. You know, it's almost like you're in a different movie in a way, because everything has a happy resolution except for your character.
Well, I guess a little real life just has to sneak up into any story.
At playing Jason Robart's son in this, did you try to pick up any gestures from him so it would be believable that you were of the same family?
We had hung out for about 2.5 months just previous to the filming, because we had done another film together in North Carolina. And so we had a kind of shared history that that hooked us into each other. People had kind of been amazed at our sense of connection. So the work was more inside than externally.
Mm-hmm. When you got the role of Mozart in the film Amadeus, mm-hmm. what kinds of discussions did you have about how to play him.
Discussions?
Mm-hmm. Discussions with your director.
There were no discussions with our director.
Who was Milos Forman, by the way.
Yeah. Discussions were not what he was about. I did about 900 hours of screen tests, and he did a good deal of work with me in that situation before he hired me. His theory being that actors are always much more open to what the director has to say before they've been given the job.
Yeah, right. I could see his point, I guess.
Well, you know, nice. Very nice. I didn't agree with that, uh-huh. but in point of fact, he did a lot of work with me at that point. And then we spent 2 days sitting in an extraordinary room in the house where he was living, looking out over the old part of Prague, and just went through the script. And he let me know, essentially by demonstration, what he was looking for. And we worked on the story up to the point where Mozart starts to decline. And then he said, I know you can do that, so we won't work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we staged all of the scenes before we started filming all over Prague and the locations that they'd be taking place. And then that was it. There was no emotional discussion, intellectual discussion, psychological discussion. That wasn't the modus operandi.
What did Forman have you do in these elaborate screen tests?
Oh, you go into a TV studio. You know, it's usually 8 o'clock in the morning. The floor is white and curves up into a white wall. There's nothing there. There's a couple of video cameras. They put a costume and a wig on you and ask you to give them a reason to hire you. You play through scenes from the screenplay. One day I did 5 hours straight, and every 20 minutes different actors would come in and work opposite me as the other characters. And it was an excellent chance to see a lot of people in a high-pressure situation, and to see him work, and to see how he worked with the people he was interested in, and how he worked with the people who I guessed he wasn't interested in. And at the end of that day, when I was exhausted, he sort of looked at me and said, okay, you can go. I thought, oh, you know, great, great. But I'd also seen him be very curt with the people he seemed to be most intrigued with, so I took that all right. My last test I did opposite him, he played Salieri, and we did a couple of scenes. That was a lot of fun. He's actually a lot of fun to act with.
Let me ask you about your movie Dominic and Eugene. You played a 26-year-old mentally impaired man who was impaired from a childhood head injury. And, this character's working as a garbage collector, supporting mm-hmm. his twin brother through medical school. What did you do to try to understand what an accurate representation of such a character would be?
Kind of just regulation research. Hung out in an occupational training center here in Manhattan. Spent time at the Board of Education in Brooklyn, where they employ a lot of mentally challenged folks. Spent some time talking with a guy in Pittsburgh where we were shooting who had a similar kind of injury. Worked on a garbage truck a bit. Hung out in the neighborhood where these guys lived. Spent a lot of time with Ray Liotta, who was my twin brother in the story. It's interesting to me that people find this part of acting like this is really hard work or unusual. And it's the acting that's the hard part. This part is just easy and fun, and you know, it's a kind of way to visit other people's worlds.
I wonder if it creates a lot of empathy on your part as an actor. You know, you've played all these different roles, so
mm-hmm.
you know, you have empathy with civil rights workers. You have empathy with people who have, you know, mental disabilities. Do you know what I mean? Empathy with Mozart? I don't know. But you've imagined yourself as so many different characters.
Yeah, yeah. It's a kind of fascinating thing. I've, in the guise of fiction, gotten to live some really extraordinary lives, or live moments from extraordinary lives. Sometimes I think I should stop living other people's lives and live an extraordinary life myself. But right now I feel like the best work I can do is through acting.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask you about a movie of yours that I saw that I really liked, that I understand you probably don't like as much as I do, and that's the movie Slam Dance.
Uh-huh.
I liked your performance in it a lot. I thought it was a very stylish film.
Did you see it in a movie theater or on television?
In a movie theater.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Now tell me what you think of the movie. This is a movie, Tom Hulce plays an underground cartoonist who's framed for murder.
It's a big piece of style. That's what my take on it is. It was a really frustrating experience working on it, because the concerns of the filmmakers were not about character, were not about story, were not about relationship. It was very much about where the camera was going to be at what moment and how it was moving. It got to the point where they got through half of a shot before they realized that Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio and I weren't in it. We were standing behind the camera wondering how long it would take them to notice that the actors weren't in the picture. So it was just frustrating to be in a situation where the concerns of the filmmakers were not at all about the humans.
Mm-hmm. Actor Tom Hulce is my guest. Have you done any work besides acting?
I stuffed envelopes for a week for the Directory of New Musical Notation. They wanted to have international universal symbols for, you know, pieces of music where you hit a spoon on someone's head, that there would be a symbol for that so that everyone would know what that meant. sitting in a room with no windows that was a little bigger than a closet and doing a job that a machine could do. And I lasted for a week doing that.
Were you fired or did you quit?
No, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't sit there and do it. I didn't have the patience. I worked as a shopper for a number of months for the New York Shakespeare Festival. When I first came to New York, they gave me cash in an envelope every day, and I went out and bought things for them. Great job, really great job, a way to learn the city, run into all kinds of people in places that I never would have encountered otherwise. And it kept my hours flexible enough that I could go off and audition for things during the day as well as do my job.
Did you act as a child?
According to those that were around me, yes. Not professionally.
Mm-hmm. School plays, things like that?
No, I didn't get such good reception in school. I actually did plays, but I did them in Ann Arbor, about a half an hour away from where I lived, at the University of Michigan or under their auspices. So I had a kind of... It's interesting. I had a kind of success away from where I lived that I didn't have where I lived. Maybe that accounts for my leaving as early as I did.
Leaving where?
Home.
How old were you when you left home?
15.
Was this running away from home or what?
Well, I was running towards acting.
Without your parents' permission?
Not necessarily their...
blessing.
Unified and wholehearted support.
Yeah.
But I didn't pack up and say, you know, I'm off to join the carnival.
You once said that when you were younger, you thought you wouldn't make it past your 20s. What made you think that?
Oh, some kind of romantic notion, I think. All of my goals that I had and sort of daydreams about what might happen were all centered around the time to my mid-20s. So it was pretty confusing to find myself having pretty much achieved any of the goals or lived out the fantasies that I'd had and still be alive. And it's kind of still being the beginning of my of my working and my life in some way. So my mid and later 20s included a lot of time sorting out what I wanted, mm-hmm. and if I wanted to continue acting. And part of me thinks that acting is a phase, that there's something else that I'll be doing, and I don't know what it is, but I always have my antenna up to be available to whatever that might be. There's, I tell you, I just got a call this morning from Milos Forman, and they're putting together an event for Havel, who is now as I'm sure you know, the president of Czechoslovakia. And so Milos called up, and in an attempt to support him, and there will be elections in the spring, he explained that because of Amadeus, I'm one of the most popular actors in Czechoslovakia, American actors, and asked if I'd be willing to be a part of this tribute to him, and that it would potentially help shape what was happening over there. And you know, there's a certain amount of flattery involved in that comment on his part to get me to show up, but also the fact that my work as an actor can also be put to that kind of use is thrilling, mm-hmm. really thrilling.
Well, Tom Hulse, I thank you a lot for talking with us. Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Tom Hulse plays civil rights worker Michael Schwerner in the made-for-TV movie Murder in Mississippi, which will be broadcast on NBC this Monday night. Hulse is also now starring on Broadway in the play A Few Good Men. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.